So along comes the Yankee Institute for Public Policy, and they have commissioned a report entitled Securing Our Future, A Menu of Solutions to Connecticut's Pension Crisis, and it was put together by Anthony Randazzo, Daniel Takish, and Adam Rich. And Adam, in fact, is a fellow of the Casualty Actuarial Society and resident of South Windsor. Anthony Randazzo and Daniel Takish from the Reason Foundation's Pension Integrity Project. And the report was just released today. And we're going to talk about it with the policy director for the Yankee Institute, Suzanne Bates. Suzanne, welcome to CT on the Hill.
Thank you so much for having me.
What are, Suzanne, some of the main points of this report?
I would say the main points of this report are that, you know, we all know we're in a pension crisis. Like you said, it is eating up a bigger and bigger portion of our budget. Right now we're at 13% of our total budget, which is a huge number when you look at other states. And so we're really in a crisis. What's happening is we're seeing tax hikes and service cuts. So they're cutting, you know, things for people who really need it. You know, they're cutting education funding. They're cutting funds for intellectually disabled adults. And meanwhile, all that money is going into the pensions. The tax hikes and the cuts, it's all getting poured into the pensions. So what we did is we put together a report to show how the state could save money on its pensions over the next 30 years if it took the following steps. So we show some sizable savings if they make some changes.
And what would some of those changes be?
So, for example, we right now our state employees pay between 0 and 2% into their pensions. If they started paying 6%, which is sort of the norm across the nation, that would save us $4 billion over the next 30 years. If we capped out COLAs, right now state employees get an increase, or retirees get an increase on their pensions every year between 2.5% and 7%. We're asking them to cap that cost of living adjustment at 2%, that would save us another $1.4 billion. There are a number of solutions like that in the paper that show how we can get real savings out of these pensions.
You know, Suzanne, I'm so glad you mentioned the COLA, because I don't think many people realize that, and I'm not out to pick on state employees and their pension funds, but they get a cost of living increase that is pretty sizable, particularly when you look at the inflation, and supposedly inflation isn't as high as their COLAs.
Exactly. I mean, that's in most states they peg the COLAs to inflation, and here we have, you know, 2.5% to 7% increase. And that's essentially a new benefit, because it isn't really covering that cost of living increase, because, like you said, it's more than inflation. So it's really an added benefit that they get every year.
And we cannot continue to go on like this. As you mentioned, the budget, the pension takes up, what, you said 13% of the budget?
Yeah, that's the state employee and the teacher's pensions. It's 13%. That's a huge number. You know, that's not even talking about payroll for state employees and health care for state employees. And then you get, you know, all of the other things that state government is supposed to do, like education and funding the DMV and all of those things, you know. But when you get, you know, that big chunk of money going to pensions every year, it makes it harder to fund everything else.
Well, I think the one of the state senators proposed that as far as the health care situation is concerned, state employees increase their copay just a little bit, and you would have thought she was asking for the stars and the moon.
Honestly, that's been the problem with all of these changes. We are not suggesting anything that's really all that extraordinary, and yet any little change the unions are fighting so hard to stop. It's been very frustrating to watch, especially as we spiral further into this crisis. You know, we really need the unions to step up and agree to come to the table and make some of these changes, because it really is, Connecticut isn't in a crisis.
Is there any mention in this report about the overtime calculation used to figure out these pensions?
We do suggest that that's one of the solutions the state should follow. Unfortunately, it's very difficult to model what the savings would be for something like that, but we believe it would be sizable. I mean, look, we have over 900 state employee pensions right now that are over $100,000. So a lot of those are because of padding of the pensions based on overtime. And so I don't think anyone thinks a pension should be over $100,000. You know, that's not what pensions we're meant to be. But here we have 900 in our state that are over $100,000. That's a big number.
Now, Suzanne, you know anytime the Yankee Institute issues a report like this, the public employee unions come out and lambaste the Institute as not doing their homework and making up these figures in some cases. So how do you counteract that?
You know, these numbers are solid. That's why we hired an actuary to do this model for us. You know, we're working with, like you said, the Reason Foundation. They are in a number of states, and they've actually worked with unions. You know, it's funny because here in Connecticut, our unions have just been so, they've just refused to do anything on this issue. But in other states, you're seeing unions come to the table. Anthony Randazzo, who helped co-write our paper, recently was working in Arizona, and he had, you know, the unions on one side and the state on the other, and they came to a solution all together that worked out for everyone. You know, he's able to see that firsthand. So I really think that, look, they're going to attack us no matter what we do, but the credentials of the people who wrote this paper, they're really bulletproof.
So how was he able to get these two sides in Arizona together? What was the secret sauce?
Well, so it was actually the police and fire unions in Arizona, and they saw that their pension fund was nearing insolvency. They were worried for their retirees that they weren't going to have that money that was supposed to be there for them. And so they actually were the ones that approached the state government and said, we need to do something about this. And so they brought in Anthony and some other experts, and they helped create a new system that was going to be sustainable and affordable over the long term. You know, I wish we would see that here.
Now, I received an excellent question from a caller the other day about the state pension fund and how do we sort out fact from fiction. And he wanted to know, currently, do we bring in enough money on an annual basis to support paying the pension fund? Where does that stand? Are we in the red? Are we bringing in enough money, breaking even? Where does that stand?
For some years, we have brought in enough money between the employee contributions and what the state puts in. And then also what they depend on is like a return on their investments, right? They have state assets that they've invested in the stock market and other instruments, and they're expecting some kind of return on that. If those returns are too low, then often they are paying out more than they're bringing in. So I'm getting very technical here, but essentially our fund is actually getting worse, not better, over the long run because we are not getting these returns on our investments that we're expecting.
And, you know, Suzanne, I've got to tell you, this really makes my blood boil, and this is me talking now. When I hear a certain element of government criticizing big business, Wall Street, the stock market, look at what they're doing, and yet they're depending on a rate of return that, in order to make the pension work, is a good one. It just astounds me that they're depending on the institution that they constantly criticize.
That's right. Yeah, they're criticizing them with, you know, on one side and then investing in them on the other.
It's wild. Absolutely wild.
Yeah.
Where can people get a copy of this report?
They can go to yankeeinstitute.org/pensionreform. The papers are up there now. We hope people will get engaged on this topic. We really need to have some grassroots support to get this pension fixed.
And it's got to be fixed, Suzanne, as you know, because we have this discussion every year, and until such time as it gets fixed, the state continues on this down this reckless road.
Absolutely. If people want to stop this cycle of tax increases and, you know, the deficits that we see year after year, the pensions are the key. Both the state employees and the teacher pensions are the key to solving this problem.
Suzanne, thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Suzanne Bates, Policy Director for Yankee Institute, a plan that reforms Connecticut's pension system for state employees.